Hello and welcome to the Radio Academy podcast with me, Roisin Hasty. Each week I go behind the scenes to find out more about some of the most standout radio or podcast moments that we've been listening to. This week we're looking at how the death of Jamal Edwards, a music industry pioneer, was reflected on air.
So yesterday, probably the worst news I've ever had to share, we found out that Jamal Edwards had passed away at the age of 31. Absolutely heartbreaking news.
Jamal founded SBTV as a teenager after his mum gave him a video camera for Christmas. What started out as a schoolboy's YouTube channel soon became the platform for showcasing British rap and grime music, featuring artists like Stormzy and Ed Sheeran before they were even signed.
Storms, ghetto superstars, Clifton Bloodline, Dunno, let's go. Listen, yeah.
They call me Young Gun like I was a pistol in the primary. Speaking codes, no irony. Irony is that I don't have a beautiful mind at all. I'm not a dinosaur. It's no time to pause.
He got an MBE in 2014 and was well respected by so many in the music industry, as you'll hear in this chat with Nadia J from the One Extra Breakfast Show and her producer Adele Cross. We'll be focusing on how they reacted to the shocking news of his death from a sudden illness at the age of 31, but also how it was covered on One Extra and elsewhere throughout the day. So Nadia and Adele, you came in that morning to do the One Extra Breakfast Show, having just had this as a breaking story. What was the conversation between the two of you as you were heading into work?
I think Adele was checking I was okay first, because we're the breakfast show, so we have to make sure that whatever we say is informative and, you know, as well as emotional, but it sets people's day up, so you have to kind of find a balance. But I was upset, but I'd cried the night before, so I was kind of okay to deliver it. I'd done all the emotional part, which was good, because sometimes it's really the opposite, or you come in and then it hits you. But yeah, I guess our thing is always like make sure that I'm comfortable saying something.
And I think too at that point, it's always the journey in the taxi on the way to work. So I got a WhatsApp from Nadia saying, guys, this has happened. And then we actually thought about what we could do on the show because of it. So there is that kind of, we all get up early, we all got sleep in our eyes, etc. But it's that time when you can think about the show and think about each other. Mm. So by the time we actually got to the office, we had an idea already what was going to happen. And also, we also know that we have to take care of each other. Unfortunately, we're getting used to this now, because the whole show was kind of born out of coronavirus and lockdown. So the whole thing of, are you okay? How do you do this? Mm-hmm. How are we cool? And then once we're okay as the family on air, we can then make sure the family at home listening on their breakfast table are also okay. So it's that real kind of taking care of each other, but also making sure the story is relevant, and also making sure we're not Radio 4. Mm-hmm. Not Five Lives. We have to make sure that what we say is relevant to our audience.
Mm-hmm. And someone like Jamal was so relevant to the One Extra audience because had such a huge influence on the music you play, the people that he influenced that come through your station as well. So I'm sure you were both very aware that it was really poignant to mark it on One Extra that morning.
Yeah, I think, I don't know why I wasn't thinking that it would have gone on socials, which was really silly of me, because we are the station that represents most what Jamal represented himself and what he did. So, and also a lot of us are his friends, so I was really quite naive actually about what I said, and I think that actually helped, because when I went on air I was just me talking about my friend Jamal rather mm-hmm. than thinking about, oh, okay, this is going to go here and this is going to go there and I've got to make sure I say the right thing. It wasn't like that at all. It was like, well, this is what he is and this is what he was.
So many of us were good friends of Jamal, were close to him, had interactions with him. That guy just wanted everybody to win, just everybody. It had nothing to do with any gain, no personal gain, just because he's just a guy with a heart of gold. We're thinking about his family right now, his close friends, everyone that he's helped. This music industry will not be the same without him.
You know, I mean, Jamal's life was even if you weren't his friend, you kind of knew what he stood for. He was no stranger to the station, and it was just almost quite natural to draw for all the good things to say about him, because it's not like, he's just such an amazing guy. There was nothing forced about it at all. But I honestly didn't realize how important that first link about him was. We were just like Adele said, we're more thinking about, okay, we'll use a feature that can represent Jamal first half an hour, and then mm-hmm. you know, we'll carry on with the show. But yeah, it was, it ended up being a really nice moment, which is good. It's what we wanted.
Yeah, and like you say, that tricky balance of making it fit with a breakfast show where you're waking people up, and obviously being the first show that goes out on air that is live, you have to be very reactive to those things. Whereas shows later in the day, like we had Target's tribute show to Jamal, that they have a lot more time to plan that and put something together that does justice as well, because you wouldn't want to try and force something early morning knowing you don't have the resources at that time.
Exactly. So yeah, it was just about doing what we could in the time we could in the space that we have. So we have a moment called our Monday moment of calm. It felt right. I just remembered, I think we played Moment of Silence for him. It's a rap song. It's about people who have passed. And it was, loads of people were messaging us saying that it was fitting because, like you said, it's our audience, is what they would expect. It's not, you know, I don't want to play something that was out of sync with who we are. Mm-hmm. One Extra, but at the same time still represents Jamal.
And there's also a real power in authenticity. So if you know what you bring to the table, and I am going to embarrass her, but oh. I don't care because I can. I've got the microphone on. What Nadia is incredible at is taking the cumulative emotions of a nation and making it sound really natural.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other presenters who didn't know, who knew of him, didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
So that tribute didn't sound as warm and authentic and embracing as when Nadia said it. So it is important to have someone like Nadia at breakfast because you feel like they are really at your breakfast table.
Yeah, and Nadia, you were amazing in that moment, and you know, using your emotions to really help listeners understand the impact of his death. But Adele as well, like, you know, I'm sure Nadia needed the security of having a safe pair of hands in you as a producer to be able to even attempt something like that live on air.
And also, like, knowing that my producers trust what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Like, it's really important. Like, and I won't just say producers, it's actually the whole of One Extra, the production, management. There's never a, Nadia, can you make sure you do this or do that? I'm actually just trusted to relay the message. But sometimes that can be hard. In this instance, it was Jamal. I knew him. But sometimes there are people who've passed away who I might not know, or I might not have the range to discuss. And sometimes it's okay to just do what works for you and the show. So you know, there's been people that have passed away and we've done a slight mention, and then we've forwarded to other vet presenters, for example, that might have more knowledge. And, you know, that happened recently with Skibidi. He passed away. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was had the range to discuss him in its entirety. And I remember having a conversation with Ace. I said, look, you know, and he did it. And it was great. It didn't mean that we don't recognise it. It's just that mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, it's about trusting yourself as a broadcaster, what you can relay and what you can't. And with Jamal, I just knew. I was like, you know, I knew this guy, and it was shocking, and there's nothing wrong with bringing that to the breakfast table because we have to. Mm-hmm. It was everywhere. It was everywhere.
Yeah, and then the coverage on One Extra as the day unfolded was just amazing as well. You went on to Newsbeat, the news service that is on One Extra and Radio 1 and Nation Network, and you told Jamal's story through your own personal experience as well. Like we already discussed, Target show. Did you have a hand in sort of talking to Target and his team as well about that show? Did you do a handover?
We have a group chat. And it's really good. So people are just throwing things out there, what they're going to do. I'm really lucky. I'm close to all the presenters. So Ace also replayed his interview with Jamal from 2011. And Jamal was young. And I was on the way home driving in the car listening to it. And I got so emotional because obviously when you're hearing him, it's different. So you go from breakfast show, which is just the announcement of how we felt. And then you go into the rest of the day on One Extra celebrating him. It's like a different, mm-hmm. it's like an actual memorial at that point. Because by the time we got to Target, it's almost like, you know, with death, you kind of have to go through all the motions. There's the sadness and there's the happiness and there's the, oh, we don't have you anymore, but we still got this of you. And, you know, now that interview with Jamal is so priceless. It's timeless now. It's never going to happen again. And I think other platforms had reposted interviews of Jamal. So all over the internet that day, there was moments of celebrating him, not just here's the news, here's what's happened, blah, blah, blah. So
mm-hmm.
One Extra were really good at celebrating him that day. I did feel like I'd gone through all the motions. So by the time we got to the end of the evening, I was like, okay, I'm at peace with this for now, at the very least. So, yeah, I just want to shout out the other producers and presenters because they did well remembering Jamal.
That's a lovely way to put it, actually. As a station, it helped people through their grief and process, you know, something quite shocking because, mm-hmm. you know, he was 31, he shouldn't have died.
Yeah. And we all found out, just to say, we all found out Sunday night. So I remember actually having to put it in the group chat, which was so horrible because I didn't want to, but I didn't want us to wake up in the morning and see that. I would have rather, like I said, Jamal was known, as in so many of us have friends and whatever, and I thought, if I just tell them and then we all make the calls so that we're prepped the night before, so by the Monday we can do what we've got to do, and that's what we were lucky we were able to do that. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And across the BBC, across other stations as well, Jamal's death was reflected too. Did you see it anywhere else on your timeline that you thought?
Everywhere. I saw Richard Branson tweeting. I saw Chelsea. So Chelsea had a game and they had a moment for him. Loads of people went down. I couldn't go that Monday night, but loads of people went down to where he's got like a mural mm-hmm. up. This is before he passed away. So this is how important Jamal was. This isn't something that happened after the fact. This is a man that was celebrated whilst he was alive because he was that great. So there was that. There was tributes everywhere. There was celebrities. There was royalty. Was it Prince William? Yeah. Prince William.
And Prince Charles as well, because he was involved with the Prince's Trust, wasn't he?
Exactly. And it was, and then they did, of course, Loose Women mm-hmm. dedicated the show to his memory. Brenda had obviously spoken out at that point. Lady Leisha, one of our presenters, went down to this Jamal celebration they had in West London and she was emceeing. It honestly felt like a day of celebrating him. So like I said, it was almost like we almost had like an online funeral for him because we all had been through the motions. I don't think I've ever actually seen anything like that before from someone passing away in the music industry, if I'm honest with you. Like it was huge.
Mm-hmm. And just for our listeners, what was his impact on the music industry? Like it will be felt not only on that day that everyone was reacting to the news, but you know, he has a legacy.
Yeah. All right. So for context, someone like Dave and someone like Ed Sheeran quite literally they will say it themselves, they didn't have any platforms that were posting them before they met Jamal. Ed, I know, would have felt it. I know he posted afterwards, like, you know, Jamal was like one of his best friends. But musically, I think SBTV, what it did for, and I say music industry, I don't just mean music, I mean presenters. So myself, Aaron Roach Bridgman, there's people on the network, Tiffany and Target, and so many people have had meetings. There are people that were saying that we've got meetings of Jamal next week. Jamal did a lot of background work based from being great on SBTV, but he put rappers on the platform who then went on to get deals who are now where they are now. That's one side. And then he put presenters on the platform who are now at the BBC. They're at Capital Extra. They're at, you know, they're doing really well. Then his newer stuff. So he did a lot of charity work. And then he also did some stuff with Channel 4. So there was a day of black content. And he put Yinka, Bokini and ZZ Mills forward. And those two were like the first double-heading black females to present something on Channel 4. It's huge things he was doing underneath all of, you know, the bravado and the success of SBTV. I did loads of conferences with Jamal, and he would ask me to be the presenter, even if they had one there. So it's stuff like that. Like, because of that, there was visibility in our industry, which meant that big platforms had to grab us because Jamal was making so much noise. And the most important part is that he didn't ask for anything back. It was never like, you do this for me, I'll do that for you. Never. It was always just, I'm just going to put people on just because he wanted to. So, yeah.
And the pair of you have both been working sort of in tandem with him as he was working at SBTV and doing everything that he did. You've also been working in this industry. Did you notice over the years the influence that he was having on maybe what you were playing on One Extra or elsewhere, or the people that were coming in as guests that would have spoken about Jamal or have had experiences with him?
I would say it's the impression of being a young black businessman in this country. So it's more the fact that he made being ambitious, young, an entrepreneur, and yet being dark-skinned acceptable. Mm. And it's long before George Floyd. So it's also difficult, I think, at that point. I've been here for a while. I met him was producing The Hull, like 2011, and he came on the review show. He waxed lyrical about every single track. It was phenomenal, extraordinary. But he walked into a place like he belonged there. And so when you have opposing images of black men, let's be honest, and there's one that's, you know, he's probably cussing or fighting or stabbing someone, and then you have Jamal, who isn't even trying to be anything other than himself, which is a young, inspirational black king who's just doing his thing. So as people came into One Extra, as time goes on, you kind of felt that they thought, yeah, we can do this too. We can use our own vernacular. We can use our own image. We don't have to fall into different cliches. So as a producer, watching people come in, I saw that difference. And I can see as well, there's people, you know, like Twin B, who then are behind the scenes making things happen. They don't need to have the gloss. They can just make sure that they have the contacts. Like a bit like, you know, The Godfather on Netflix.
Yeah,
you know,
this is him.
Just makes things happen and then is happy, then, you know, loves his mum. Do you know what I mean?
Literally.
Simple.
Just a nice boy.
Exactly. Really, you would not know that he was as important as he is, because he'd be the kind of person who would be in a room and want to learn from the other people in the room.
And, I mean, this feels like a big statement, but it feels like it's one that fits Jamal. Do you think he literally has helped shape radio and podcasts and audio as they exist in the world today?
I think he's helped shape the UK music industry, full stop. The UK media industry and the young, buzzing, black sector of it, because I just don't think it would exist the way it does now without him. And that's undeniable. I think anyone who hears this and knows Jamal knows that's true.
In salute to what he did, on this podcast, we ask our guests to share three tips or pieces of advice that they would like to tell people listening to this who are also interested in the radio industry. What would you like to tell others that you've learned along the way that would also help them?
Ooh, I'll do one, and then you'll do two, and then I'll do three. Something I've learned along the way. Be yourself. I know it's so cliche. It's so cliche, but if you open any microphone and you're anybody but yourself, you won't last very long. You'll get tired. You'll come across in a way that everyone can hear that you're not being yourself. There's only one of you. So whatever your unique selling points are, you need to really hold them dear, because with radio, you can't be seen. It's just all audio. And most people can always tell when something is real or when it's not. So just be yourself. You're not going to be liked by everyone, but that would, you know, once I realized who my voice was, I'd be like, yeah, that's me. I'm comfortable here. That would be definitely number one for me.
The second one for me on the back of that is be reliable. It sounds so basic, but once you know who you are, which is your voice, if you're gonna show up at 9 a.m, show up at 9 a.m. So someone like me, who's a producer, I don't have time to chase people. So be reliable. So, you know your voice, as Nadia said, and then know who you are, what you bring to the table, and make sure that you are present in what you do. So even if you are getting teas or coffees or getting an exclusive, I beg you, just show up. Because once you show up, then I can invest in you and I can trust you. Once I can trust you, then we can go far. If you don't even show up, then I can't do anything and then we are in trouble. Number three for Nadia.
Don't let it get to your head. It's really easy to say that when you are interviewing, you know, when you're in a room and like Jay-Z could walk in at any time. Like, that's happened to me. You just really need to get over yourself. Like, it's honestly, I think I've seen people and I'm like, you are not the people you've interviewed. Like, it's an amazing job. But do remember, we are all human beings, and those accolades are based on how gracious you are, not because you're some, you know. Don't get me wrong, you've got your voice and you're showing up, like Adele said, every day, but just don't let it get to your head, because the ego is a huge problem in this industry, and it really is make or break. If you don't grab it and really keep it under wraps, it can just overtake and people won't tell you. And that's the worst part. Like, when your ego is out of line, like, no one's telling you. Maybe your mom or your dad, if you're lucky, or someone close to you. But in the industry, you'll just get a bad rep, and you don't want that, because it's really hard to change it. So I would say, and when I say, you know, don't let it go to your head, I mean, do not become someone else based on the job, because the job can come and go. at any time. So just be assured that the person you are on mic and the person you are off mic should kind of marry up, is what I'm trying to say. In case you're wondering, oh, what does it mean if my ego gets the better of me? If you get to a position whereby the job gets taken and you can't be the personality you've performing with, then we've got a problem.
And the things are too, they won't tell you, they just won't book you.
They just won't book you. They won't tell
the
you.
The phones just will
the
not
phone
ring.
Will stop ringing. Right.
So the person you are on mic, relatively similar to the person you are in boots, basically. Just, you know, obviously a different voice you might have to put on, they've got to do the news, but there shouldn't be that much difference. If there is, then you need to check that out. Just
yeah. And you know, if Jamal's anything to go by, it sounds like he was humble as...
everything to go by, because Jamal is the person who would see you in boots and probably likely to pay for your stuff if you didn't have your card. So, yeah.
Big thank you to Nadia and Adele for their openness and honesty in that chat. You can tell they thought the world of Jamal, and so much love and care went into those tributes to him on air. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit like and subscribe. And as always, let us know if there's something you'd like to hear featured. Email us at podcast@radioacademy.org. Remember, we couldn't make these episodes without the support of Radio Academy members. So if you'd like to join, it's £3 a month and you get access to loads of other great resources like online events and advice from others in the industry. Thanks for listening.